Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
I tell you what, this has been a good football show. If you want people to talk about football, Stan Weber, Gary Lezak, forces football conversation in his weather forecast. Then Duron Cherry and now Tim Grunhard.
Awesome football
on this Red Friday in Kansas City.
I am ready for some football. I am ready for some Kansas City Chief football. As you guys remember, you guys know this, but 2 weeks ago, Missouri high school sports football started, and then last weekend, Kansas started, and basically, college football started last week. So they're kind of the appetizers. They'll be kind of leading up to the main course of the number two, some number one, but number two Kansas City Chiefs in most of the power rankings against the number three Cleveland Browns. That's right, number three Cleveland Browns. What a great matchup.
So let's start off with the big question mark. Steve Spagnuolo, we'll play that clip again, Jake, for people that didn't get a chance to hear it from Spags, because we don't know if Tyrann Mathieu is going to play or not. He's on the COVID list. Don't know if he's going to be back and ready to roll on Sunday. So Spags was asked what the plan is if Tyrann Mathieu can't play on Sunday.
It's up in the air right now, and that's a little bit challenging to game plan for. But we've got plan A and plan B. We would handle it no different, obviously, than somebody getting hurt in the middle of the game. Guys got to be ready to step up. The advantage we have, I guess, versus that particular scenario is we're practicing with guys that we think might have to play. So we'll move guys around, do what we have to, try to do most of the things that we do with Tyrann, but certainly some of those things are going to change, and some of the calls might alter because of that.
Yeah, and assuming he does play, he's missed some time now.
Yeah.
What's reasonable to expect from him? Can he play a full game at this point, assuming he does make it back?
Yeah, look, that's always, we don't know, right? But this dude we're talking about is a special guy, in my opinion. So we'll see. But I think we got to be fair to him. We always say that sometimes you got to protect the players from themselves. So we'll be careful there. Coach Reed and I have talked about it. Talked about it with Rick. We'll see where we're at when the time comes.
So tell us your reaction to what Spags had to say about Tyrann Mathieu.
Couple things. Number one, I love when he said you got to protect the players from themselves. That is so true. Players are always going to want to try and get back in there now.
Kind of like how the Royals always have to protect Mondesi from himself.
Well,
we're talking Royals now.
Sorry, Red Friday. I don't know where that came from. That was stupid.
Yeah, but protecting players from themselves, that's so true a lot of times. Well, this is a little bit different because there's really no injury that Tyrann is dealing with. It's, it's COVID and,
illness.
And, he was pretty asymptomatic. So, yeah, he missed some time. But just like Spack said, this is a special guy. So I expect if he does have two negative tests that he'll play and play most of the game, and they're going to need him. If he doesn't play, you got Dan Sorensen in there who's is a really good run stopping, can kind of get up into the box or get up into the front seven. Get up in it in the front seven/eight. And to stop the run, he does a good job of that. And then you have Thornhill who can kind of play that safety / traffic cop back there in the cover three look. And so I think that you have some answers, but obviously you want your heart and soul and you want your leader, your undisputed leader of the defense out there, especially when you're going against two running backs that are big physical backs who like to get their shoulders north and south and get up the field. So it's going to be a challenge for this defense. But I do feel good if, obviously, he can play because of another negative test, then I think he'll be okay. It's not like he's got a ankle or a back or a shoulder. He's got an illness that he's dealing with. And if he passes all those tests, and basically he's 100%.
Okay, so two-part question on this then. They said, obviously, he's not allowed in the building while it's going on, so all his meetings have had to be done via Zoom. which I guess you got, at least got used to last year. Mm-hmm. But he's not in the meeting rooms, and I'm curious if he does play, how much, if at all, does that affect his preparation? And if he doesn't play, how much does his absence from the meeting room affect the guys that would be filling in for him? In other words, would he be in the meeting rooms a lot this week telling guys like Juan Thornhill, hey, this is what you do in this situation? And is that affected at all by him not being able to be there?
Boy, that's a really interesting question, because I don't know. I don't know how much interaction there is between a Zoom participant in a meeting or a guy that obviously is in the meeting. I would think that if you're in the Zoom meeting that you're a little bit of a, you're on a tablet or something, and you could talk to other guys and you can get some communication done that way. Obviously, it's not the situation that you want, but I do think you could probably get some of the communication. It's invaluable to have him in the meeting room. So, to answer your question, no, it's not the perfect situation. It's not ideal to have him in a Zoom setting when everybody else is in the meetings, but that's part of the nature of the beast with this pandemic we're dealing with and the rules of the NFL, which I think are good. You know, keep a guy away until you know for sure that he's healthy. But I do think of any of the guys that is in that secondary, Tyrann Mathieu can play quicker and faster and better than anybody else without being out there at practice, right, without being in the meetings, because I think he, is a very, very smart player and understands the concept of the defense. And I think he'll be able to play at a high level. But it's not perfect. It's not a great situation. And I think Spags, you can hear it on his voice. You know, they have a plan B. You always have a plan B. You always have to have a plan B. You have that contingency plan that you have to go to. I think Tyrann being in there is definitely an advantage for the Chiefs. And if he's not in there, and I know this is very simplistic, it's a disadvantage for the Chiefs. So we want all the advantages we can get. So let's knock on wood and hope that he, has a negative test and could play on Sunday.
Tim Grenhardt is in studio with us. And so the other question marks on the defense, Frank Clark, limited participant in practice with the hamstring, and Derek Nnadi, the limited participant with his hip issue. What about if those guys either aren't ready to go or aren't 100%?
Well, I mean, that definitely isn't ideal. Also, this is the third-ranked offense rushing last year. Hunt and Chubb are very physical guys. They love to get their shoulders north and south. The defensive line, in a perfect situation, would get them to turn their shoulders east and west and have them float along the line of scrimmage before they can get their shoulders up the field. And that's what I think the defense is concentrating on, this is getting penetration and making sure that those guys can't just plant their foot and get north and south against you, because when they do, they're very, very difficult to tackle. And I know that Spags talked a little bit about that. Last year, they didn't have any preseason games, and in the first game, I think it was against Houston, right? They played Houston the first game. They had 14 missed tackles, and part of that is because they just weren't tackling because they didn't really have any live action. Well, fast forward to this year where really in practice, they don't tackle, guys. They just don't do it. Deron and I were talking a little bit about the green periods we'd have where guys would be taken to the ground. You don't do that anymore, A, because the NFLPA has outlawed it, for a lack of a better word. And teams just don't do it because of protocols that that have been set now for protection.
Good morning,
of players.
Kansas City. This is
whoa. So good morning. But I will say this, the defensive line, this is a huge game. This offensive line for Cleveland is where the Chiefs are going to be eventually here in the next couple of years. This is a really good offensive line. This may be the best offensive line in the NFL. A lot of people think they're number one. If they're not number one, they're number two. They're very, very physical. They're very, very athletic. And they love to run block. They love to gap run block, which is counter and power. You'll see them pulling. You'll see them kicking out. You'll see them out in space, getting up on linebackers. They're really, really good at what they do, and it fits with the running backs they have. So the defensive line's got to play solid. The one thing I do think that you're going to see early is they're going to run at Jones. They're going to run at why am I drawing a blank on his first name?
Chris Jones.
Jeez. They're going to run at Chris Jones. And the reason why they're going to run at Chris Jones is two reasons. Number one, they want to see how he plays outside against the run. They know he can pass rush. They know that he's got some skills in the pass rush, getting around the corner, and he's got great hands, and his secondary move is as good as anybody's in the league. But the old adage was, when you're playing against a Bruce Smith, or you're playing against a Richard Dent, or you're playing against those dominant defensive ends, you run at them. Number one, because you dictate the action to them. So if they decide that, hey, listen, I'm going to try to throw a pass move on this defense, on this outside, this, excuse me, on this offensive tackle, then, you know, they're out of position a little bit, so they got to get their hips down and get back into that run set, which is hard to do. Number two, you don't want to run away from them because they can catch you on the backside. Most of the time now, defensive ends aren't blocked on the backside. That's why there's so many RPOs and some different things they do with the quarterback to hold those defensive ends. Those guys getting down the line of scrimmage and make a play is something he does well. So I would expect early, if you're watching the game, wherever Chris Jones is at, that's where they're going to try and run early at him and see how he holds up against the run and see how he holds up against the physicality of a double team with a tight end and a tackle. That's a lot of beef going against Chris Jones, so it'll be interesting to see that. But this defensive line against this offensive line is certainly a key matchup.
How will he hold up, you think?
I think he'll be fine. I think that he uses his leverage as good as anybody because he's used to being in there in a three technique. For everybody right now, he's going to be playing outside basically most of the time in a five technique, basically the outside eye of the offensive tackle. Usually he's on the outside eye of the guard. And when you're the outside eye of the guard, you're getting a lot of double teams with guards and tackles or centers and guards that are double teaming you. Or you got guys blocking back on you and you have to, and you have to be able to read and slide across the face as they pull away from you. So, he's used to having multiple blockers going up against him. The only thing that I worry about at all with Chris Jones, and it's not that big of a worry, but it is a worry, is how is he going to be in space? He's going to have a lot of space. And there were times in the preseason where when he kind of got lost in space without, you know, going back to warning Will Robinson, warning, but lost in space where he, when things went away from him, or they influenced him, he kind of got a little bit shaky and they were able to make him miss out in space. So that's where he has got to improve, is he's got a lot more space now. And a lot of guys, you would think, well, it's better to be and easier to be in space. Well, sometimes it's not, especially when you're going against some of these running backs that can make you miss just with a shoulder or a head.
What about the addition of Jaron Reed? Because this is obviously what made the move of Chris Jones to defensive end possible. And Jaron Reed, I feel like his acquisition hasn't received enough attention. And the Chiefs, just listening to them talk about him up at camp, listening to people talk about him off camera, not just in the press conferences, they are super excited about what he can bring to the defensive line. And this is a game where he needs to show out.
Absolutely. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. He's done an unbelievable job of eating up blocks. He's kind of the Pac-Man of the defensive line. I mean, the guards and centers have a hard time getting off to the second level against him. He is really good at that, and that's a unique skill set. So, I think you saw the linebacker play with Gay and Bolton and Hitchens and Neiman a little bit more productive in the preseason when he was out there, because guys just didn't get it cleanly up to the second level. And that's what kills linebackers. Linebackers, they don't like when a offensive lineman has a clean shot at them. And so you got a 330-pound guy coming at you, and you are 240, the physics are just against you. So if you can get a defensive lineman to tie a guy up, and as he's coming off of that combo block, his shoulders are turned and he's a little bit off balance, and then as a linebacker, you can get yourself in a good position to make a play with your leverage and your strength and your speed. But if it's just a situation where a guy's getting a clean release on you, it's not a good situation for a linebacker. And I think we've seen a lot of that over the years. And I think that Reed has done a great job of locking guys up at the line of scrimmage. And that is so important, because even just letting the guy kind of get off scot-free up to a linebacker with a guy like Chubb or a guy like Hunt with their shoulders north and south getting up the field, it really puts a lot of stress on the linebackers. So Reed's responsibility this week is to tie up guys, to tie up those double teams, and to not let guys free release on the linebackers. And he's done a really nice job of that. And that's been a signature of his traits throughout his career.
You mentioned the linebackers, and one of the stars of camp was Willie Gay Jr., but he is unable to go on Sunday. Listed on the unofficial depth chart, the starters, Anthony Hitchens and Ben Neiman. But we're going to see, I hope we see a lot of Nick Bolton. What do you think of the rookie stepping in with no Willie Gay in this matchup against the Cleveland Browns? What are your expectations?
You can't teach athleticism. And he is a great athlete with great speed and great quickness.
I love him!
I think Spags, though, hit it right on the head. He's going to make some rookie mistakes. I mean, that's just part of the nature of the beast of playing in the NFL in your first couple games. You've got to make rookie mistakes. You're going to have a misread, or you're not going to get to exactly where you need to get on your drop, or you know, you're in man coverage and that you should have been in zone. Something like that is going to happen, and this is the nature of the beast, and we saw that last year with Gay, and there was times last year when he looked lost, even though he was so athletic and such a great tackler. That's why this year he's looked so good, because he's had a year to digest all this information, and I think Bolton will get better and better as the year goes on, but you can't teach that athleticism. He can make up for his mistakes faster than most guys can because of his speed and agility. You know, you fast forward to the other rookies that are playing. You got three rookies on the offensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs, and Spags kind of let the cat out of the bag with some of the coaching information or coaching talk in the meeting rooms. Is talking about rookies, and hey, listen, these guys are going to make some mistakes, so we're going to have to either A, keep it a little bit simpler, or B, you know, make sure we correct those when they get to the sideline, because they're going to make mistakes. And, you know, if you flip it to the other side of the line, you got three of those guys over there. So Cleveland and Joe Woods, who's the defense coordinator for Cleveland, is going to certainly test those guys and see what they know, what they don't know, what they can and cannot do. And the flavor or slash the blitz of the week, it'll be interesting to see what it is to try to take advantage of that right side of the offensive line.
Is it harder to pick things up mentally and be ready to play at linebacker or on the offensive line as a rookie?
I think offensive line. Most rookies, you're doing a lot of reading and reacting. Offensive line is a lot of, you know, you're taking in information and you're digesting it, and then you're implementing it with communication. So it's a little bit harder.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Jake will give his thoughts on Britney Spears' Instagram account on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thank you, Will Robinson.
Welcome back to the show. A brief pause in the NFL and Chiefs talk. And I know you can't, you're not a gambler. You're not putting money on any games. Boy, that guy is on the other side of the glass.
He's free been, money last night.
He's been sniffing around some Friday night football.
Nine and a half. How many Cowboys last night?
How many will you get with Kansas if you go that direction tonight?
I think they're 26 and a half right now.
26 and a half. Coastal Carolina is, are they number 17?
Yes, they are. 26 and a half is the number currently. At home, Kansas at home. Kansas at Coastal Carolina, 17th ranked. Coastal Carolina, Chanticleers. 17th.
I know that you're not looking for moral victories, but what is a moral victory for Kansas tonight, going on the road to play the team that's ranked number 17 in the nation? What would you consider? What should Nate feel good about going to bed tonight?
Well, I just think that, you know, if it's competitive all the way into the fourth quarter,
there you go.
And I think that's what Coach Leipold has talked about. You know, those games that they lost by 35 or 28 over the last couple of years, let's close those down to, you know, 14 and 10. And in the fourth quarter that there's still a chance that you can, shock the world. And I think that would be a positive for the Jayhawks. I really like this coaching staff. I really like this coach. That game last week, they would have lost that game under a lot of different coaches.
The last couple of coaches, that's a loss. That's exactly right.
That's a loss. And they didn't because, I mean, the enthusiasm and the excitement and this the way that he conducted himself on the sideline, he kept going. He was... He almost ran down the kickoff return. I mean, he was sprinting so fast on the sideline. So, yeah, I mean, so this week, you know, listen, try to keep it within 14 and and have a chance in the fourth quarter. And then when you get Baylor coming in, you know, a team that that you have an opportunity to compete with them. And then, you know, give yourself an opportunity to win towards the end of the game. And I think that those are all the little things that, that Kansas is trying to work on. It's a journey. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
That's right.
And every game, you know, makes some improvements. I really was impressed with not a lot of penalties and really not a lot of turnovers in that first game. I mean, you know, if they would have turned the ball over a couple times more, or they would have, you know, had a couple more penalties, that would have been a loss. And that was kind of a trait of the teams over the last couple of years, is you saw a lot of penalties, mm-hmm. a lot of turnovers and those kind of things. You just didn't see that in this team. So I was happy about that.
So they really, really struggled to run the ball, obviously, in that game. And I'm curious, you mentioned the coaching staff and your background as an offensive lineman. I was curious about this. The coaching staff got in so late, and is it sometimes being able to run the ball is just about being big enough and strong enough to move the other guy back? I understand that, and there's not much you can do about that. You know, you're either big and strong or you're not. But some of it could also have to do with guys understanding one another, have a relationship with the blocking schemes. Is there a reason to hope at all that they can get better in that department as the season goes, just because they'll understand the expectations and the scheme a little bit better?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. Also, I think that teams have got to respect the pass.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I watched that game in South Dakota. At times, they had nine guys basically up in the boxes. They were saying, hey, you pass. Let's see you pass. And when you have those many guys, they're going to have two guys that are unblocked. And the one thing you can't say about South Dakota was that they didn't have some athletic guys, and especially at the linebacker. Those guys are flying around, and those guys played hard. So, yeah, I think part of it is, listen, this offense and this offensive staff and this offensive line have been together for about 3 weeks. You know, Colin was banged up for the last 2 weeks of it. He was in and out of teamwork. So that hurt a little bit of the communication too. And then he stepped up and played in the game at a position he's never played before, guard, with an injury. And, you know, he battled. But, you know, listen, they've got to get better. And the other thing is, with outside zone stuff, there's just so much understanding between the back and the running back. So that's what we ran with Alex Gibbs and Howard Mudd. We used to have the bucket step outside zone. And the backs have got to understand, and they've got to be able to, you know, set those linebackers and get them to go a little bit farther than they want to go, just with their body language. And then the offensive linemen got to get up on guys. So I think they'll get better as the year goes on. You know, this, but it, until they show that they can hit a deep pass, or they can go down the field and be, you know, 7 for 8, and a touchdown passing, the teams are going to say, listen, we're not going to let you run the thing that you want to run. And this team and this offense is known for their outside zone. So take away what you're known for. And that's what South Dakota did in that game. And, you know, Bean made some plays with his feet, with some of the scrambles and some of the boots and some of the zone reads that he did. So hopefully that'll slow down Coastal a little bit too. But, you know, once again, just, you know, be competitive in the fourth quarter, and then I think that'd be a good thing for the Jayhawks.
Again, let me translate this for Jake Gutierrez. Take the 26.5 and enjoy your Friday evening, good sir.
Do them, I did them.
Now, I've got some other notes before we get back to the Chiefs. The Ravens are giving running back Latavius Murray a spot on the 53-man roster with a one-year deal for the veteran minimum. And so after signing Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman to the practice squad, Latavius Murray, who's in a much better situation, I think he comes in, I think, ready to perform, because he was just cut by the Saints, and they tried to screw him. You know, they cut him last week of the preseason. Hey, will you take a pay cut? He said no, and they cut him instead of asking him at the beginning where he could have time.
Yeah,
but it worked out well for him because, unfortunately for the Ravens, their entire running back depth chart has been decimated with J.K. Dobbins torn ACL, Gus Edwards, who I took in the fourth round of my fantasy draft last week, and now I'm screwed. But he's out with the torn ACL. And then Justice Hill, Achilles tendon, out. And so they've signed Le'Veon Bell, Devontae Freeman. But Latavius Murray, who was just with the Saints last week, I think he's ready to roll, and you'll see him emerge as a guy that could be a nice fantasy selection. Jake Wright, if you get to take a chance on these guys, that's who you...
I think he's going to have big numbers.
It's like you're already trying to make transactions and moves on your phone right there.
I mean, most leagues have him.
I mean, big numbers, Jake says. A Big 12 conference has sent a tweet out about them extending membership invitations. It's official. Cincinnati sent out. They've got the backdrop. That's a Big 12 now. For the Just look at that.
Cincinnati's it's a good football team. Good program.
Not, yeah, no kidding. Cincy's not waiting for nobody. So there's going to be press conferences. Let's see. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby and others are scheduled to have a video. Let's see. Video conference and announcements. Houston at 11 o'clock. BYU at 11:30. UCF at 2:45. Cincinnati at 3:30. So those four editions of the Big 12 you like?
Yeah, you know what? You love the ones you're with. You know,
that's right.
You know, you have a conference, and you know, obviously you lost a couple big name gem of programs, but you're bringing in, you know, Cincinnati is a program. Listen, they play Notre Dame this year. I think that's going to be a hell of a matchup.
With the one you love.
Love the one you're with.
There you go.
And then UCF has been a team that has been very, very competitive over the years. They've been, I don't know how they'll be this year. They were down a little bit last year. So, yeah, you know what? I have no issue with it.
Some other news and notes. Cam Newton on this Friday in an interview with NFL.com has says about the Patriots, the reason why they released me is because indirectly I was going to be a distraction without being the starter. Just my aura. That's my gift and my curse. And so
there you go.
Cam Newton clearing things up for
you. Can't argue with that.
And then a non-baseball note that I encourage you, or non-football note, I encourage you to check out the video I've just retweeted. Former Royals pitcher Mike Montgomery charged a home plate umpire in the KBO as he pitches for the Samsung Lions, and he fired a rosin bag and connected at the umpire.
So, all right.
It's a good video you can watch, and then takes off his jersey, throws his jersey at the umpire, and is escorted off the field. He was mad because he was warned about a 12-second pitch rule, and so he got upset. And so if you want to see a really good meltdown with a pitcher, a former Royal, fires a rosin bag at the umpire. I just tweeted that at SSJWHB. Now let's get back to the Chiefs. The offensive line makes their debut, this new offensive line, brand spanking new. It's going to be a tough matchup right into the fire against the Cleveland Browns. Tell me what your expectations are for these five new starters as they make their regular season debut at Arrowhead Stadium.
Well, all you got to say is, you know, Miles Garrett and Clowney are both very, very active defensive ends, and they also
overrated.
And they also went and signed McKinley. So they addressed their defensive woes last year up front, and they drafted to address those defensive woes. We're talking about Cleveland. And so let's talk about the offensive line. You know, Myles Garrett and Orlando Brown have faced each other many times because of the Baltimore and Cleveland connection. So they know each other, which is good and bad. But the difference is Orlando Brown's going to be doing a little bit different type of a pass block slash technique in this game than Myles Garrett is used to. Orlando Brown was getting, with that offense that they ran in Baltimore, was more of a play action, aggressive, you know, we used to call it, you know, jumping the defensive end in your pass protection instead of setting back and building a pocket. So we'll see how that affects Myles Garrett. We'll see how it affects Orlando Brown. It's going to be a good matchup. The good news is that Orlando Brown knows Myles Garrett's his strengths and his weaknesses, and that'll be interesting to see. And then you have Tunney, and you know, here's a veteran guy who's played many, many football games. He understands what is needed. The young guys, listen, I love these young guys. You got Niang, you got Smith, you got Humphreys. I think they're physical guys. They finish. They're excitable. They're physical. But they're going to be tested. This is another speed. And you guys been on this, doing this show with you guys for many, many years, and often talked about the different speeds of the NFL season, from preseason, you know, I'm talking about training camp, to preseason games, to the regular season, to playoffs. The speed and the tempo and the game speeds up. So there's going to be more pressure, not only more pressure on the offensive linemen, but more pressure from the defense against this offensive line. There's going to be a lot more movement. There's going to be a lot more intensity on both sides, and it'll be a whole different feel for these guys. So how fast they can adjust to the speed of the game in their mind's eye. They've all played at a high level against really good football players, but in the NFL, the speed of the game, it's like you're on your remote and you're pushing fast forward, and it's just a little bit faster until that slows down in your mind. It's a handful to go up against some of these NFL guys when you're a young guy. And just like Spag said, there's going to be some rookie mistakes. And, Creed Humphreys has got to do a lot of different communication things that are going to make it hard on him, because they're going to show him one thing and do another thing. And, you know, he's been watching a bunch of film and doing a lot of film studying. And in meetings, they've been talking about what Joe Woods and that defensive coordinator and defense like to do. And all of a sudden, you feel like you have an idea, and then all of a sudden, they show you something completely different. And you got to go to the sideline and make that adjustment. So those are the kind of things that they're going to have to work on. It'll be exciting for me to watch and see how they do.
Which offensive lineman would you be most concerned about tomorrow? It's not going to be Joe Tooney. He's a stud. But I think, Nate, you indicated maybe you're most nervous about
Orlando Brown.
There you go.
Yeah.
So who are you most nervous about on Sunday?
Well, I'm more nervous about Niang. Right tackle, hasn't played in a couple of years. They're gonna test him. They're gonna rotate Garrett over there too. And, Clowney, and they have some speed guys, and it'll be interesting to see how he adapts to that speed from those defensive ends, and a guy that he really hasn't played any meaningful down in almost 3 years. So that's my concern. Humphreys, I'm concerned about, which is communication, but once he gets his paws on you, he's as good as anybody at blocking people once he gets on the block. And Smith is just a road grader. He's just a tough, physical, nasty throwback. He would have fit perfect on the line with Will Shields, Dave Zott, and I. It would
have
been fun. It would have been fun to have him on there. He's going to miss. He's going to waistbend. He's going to come off with aggressiveness, and he's going to maybe duck his head for that millisecond and miss. He's going to miss some guys, and there's going to be some times when he doesn't look great. But you give that up because you don't want to take the bite out of the dog, and you don't want to take the spirit out of this kid, because he is just a physical, tough guy, and he's gonna make some aggressive mistakes, but that's okay. You know what? You need that. You need that toughness on the line. And believe me, once you see a guy like Trey Smith finishing guys down the field 10, 15 yards and whipping them, other guys look around and say, yeah, I want to do that too. And it's contagious, and that offensive line is going to need that.
Timmy got a very mean look in his face when he was talking about that.
Loved it.
Here is Eric Bieniemy, Chiefs OC, when he was asked by a young, fresh-faced reporter by the name of Todd Lebo about how important it was to be able to set the starters on the offensive line as early in camp as they did.
You know what? I think that's very important, just because of what you said. Chemistry has to be formed, and it has to be a bond that becomes, thicker than anything. And so those guys, they spend a lot of time together, okay? They do a great job of communicating. Obviously, they study well together. And like I said, it's not anything that's always perfect. But the thing that I appreciate about them is how hard they play, how physical they play. But on top of that, it is important for them to make sure that they're doing their job and being accountable to the rest of the guys.
And also, most importantly, Snowstorm Sandy has tweeted in that the Grunhard Shrine is set for the year. Congratulations. Can't wait to see you in the Chiefs Hall of Fame, as you can see. She's got there on her mantle, it looks like, some gloves signed by Grunny, Timmy's bobblehead, other turf from the stadium, right there. So
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Snowstorm Sandy is waiting patiently in front of that shrine she's made for you for Sunday, and then your Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Yeah, Sandy and Becky and all the crew, they used to come to all those shows in Levy. Love those guys, and I'm just excited to be able to stand on the field on November 1st and look up and know that my buddies are watching. So it's going to be great.
That's Tim Grunhard. We've got one more with Timmy after this on WHB. You didn't make it a good enough effort at guessing for me. I'm going to make you sit on that now.
I'm just going to look it up.
No. Okay, I'll tell you. Right. One more guess.
I mean, I'm completely
so blind. I've been making him watch the White Lotus.
No, you I loved it. It was a great show. Right? Great
but
show.
But there's a character, terrific. You know, the wonderful actress that plays Stifler's mom. That's you know, in this Best in
yeah.
Show, which is the,
right.
So she has a love interest in the series.
I haven't watched a single right. show, but I know who it is.
But I asked, you know who it is, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so I said, did you ever? Because I wait till people watch and go, did you figure out who that guy is?
He's gonna kick himself when
yeah,
he finds
he'll
out.
Kick yourself
because he loved the movie
right.
that he was
right.
in. He played one great of the greatest. Character.
Yeah, one of the greatest
high school football
high
players?
School football talents to ever grace the silver
just
screen.
Just ask him.
I mean, I
Uncle Rico.
No,
Uncle Rico.
No,
yeah.
Uncle Rico.
Oh
my gosh, how's he so old?
That's a what? That movie was in 2004.
Oh gosh, that movie was 17
didn't make you happy.
Ago.
Like
oh,
it just
wow.
made me. Like, oh, Uncle Rico's all right. Uncle
oh,
Rico's
man.
Doing good. He's okay now.
You
oh.
see it now?
So
I never would have guessed it. Oh my god, it's incredible.
See my look at
oh,
it.
Oh yeah,
I even knew that.
So quesadilla.
So billions has started.
I know. I need to talk to Stephen after the show.
I got to go see that. I got my kids haven't ever watched Napoleon Dynamite.
But you're gonna go watch the episode of White Lotus. You're gonna see taking on Uncle Rico.
So happy.
And so billions is back.
Billions is back. Sarah and I are watching a show called Clickbait. Anybody?
Oh,
that.
I want to see that because that's with Adrian Grenier, the former star of Entourage. Is it
yeah,
good?
Yeah, it's good. It is good. It's not great, but it's
Chase.
Good. It, you know, you wait. It's one of those Netflix series that you, yeah, you, okay, look, should we watch another one?
That's
should
on
we
the
watch
list.
Another one?
That's on the list.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
I'm telling you, and this is, again, bringing the show way down, but it is timely. We've spent the last couple of weeks putting everything else on hold. And watching as many of the new 9/11 documentaries yeah, that we can, yeah. And I'm telling you again for people that I've received several emails of people that that took my recommendation. If you're going to watch one, there's one that's on Hulu and National Geographic. It's done by National Geographic, and it's you know by the 9/11 the official 9/11 memorial. It is.
Powerful.
It's breathtaking in a terrible way. Mm. It's powerful. It's footage that I've never seen. And it's all, and there's no like narration. It's all the voices and interviews of people that were there, that were part of it. And it's 100% all archive footage, stuff that I've never seen. It's
yeah,
six episodes.
You gotta watch that.
And I'm telling you, if you're going to watch it, and you should, because yeah. it's the 20th anniversary tomorrow, if you're going to watch one, It's done by National Geographic, but you can get it on Hulu. It's words don't do it justice.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been 20 years. I remember I was driving into 810 WHB yep. in Independence when it was. I think our show started was 8 to 10 crunch time. Was me, Bill, and Frank, and I believe that the first.
I think you guys were on 9 because you guys came in.
It was 9.
Because you guys were from 9/11.
Yeah.
I was in there with Whitlock.
You were in there with Whitlock, and then we started watching, remember?
And Frank comes in yelling about something.
Right.
And we didn't, you know, Frank's, you know, crazy old guy. We don't know what he's talking about. And he's in. We turned the monitors on, and we didn't know. And it was right after the first plane had hit.
Right.
And then I had to go. I was already scheduled to go do an interview with Joel Nichols on his show afterwards. And he taped it in the mornings. And I had to leave and go right. Drove downtown, and I remember I was scared.
I was too. Yeah, that
to
was
death to drive because you know, yeah, no one knew. No one knew nothing. And then when I got there, you're in the newsroom, and then you see all the footage coming. And I'll never.
Oh, unbelievable!
You know, and I go and record the interview because we didn't know. And by the time I come back out, the towers had collapsed.
Yeah.
And the other thing I did, now I've got you listening to Howard Stern now, and you can find it on. It's hard to find because they try to take it down because of copyright or whatever. The Howard Stern live broadcast that morning, and him as it was happening, it's just mm-hmm. And I listened to about probably 2 hours of that yesterday. But the
yeah,
documentary 9/11, One Day in America. We're celebrating football.
Yeah.
We're celebrating America.
Red
we're celebrating
Friday.
Our life, and so let's remember
yeah.
those people that lost their lives in the horrible tragedy that was 9/11. And watch that documentary. Give that a couple of hours this weekend. 9/11, One Day in America. It's just It's just unbelievable. Yeah. So
I'll give a plug for something, too. Tomorrow, Sporting Kansas City plays tomorrow night at Children's Mercy Park, and there's going to be a flyover of A-10s on the 20-year anniversary. And on the Sporting Kansas City show this week, we interviewed John Tice, who's an A-10 pilot. He's going to be one of the guys flying over. Mm-hmm. He was in college in ROTC at the time, has done five tours in Afghanistan since then, and he's going to be doing the flyover at Children's Mercy Park. What a special moment that's going to be for anybody out there.
What's the score going to be on Sunday, Timmy?
The Chiefs win 35-28.
That's a cover.
It's a cover.
A former Chiefs player is actually the head coach there,
Tim Grunhard,
known as Grunny.
Yeah. You're known as Grunny, Timmy?
I know.
That's Grunny. This is Red Friday. The Chiefs are going to win on Sunday. I'll be back to talk about that on Monday right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.